guys. It's my 1 year podcast anniversary.
Woo!
Thank you all for your support. This episode is going to be a clip show on season one, and that was episodes one through episode six. I'd like to thank Mike for being a guest host this season. And yeah, so basically just have the clips playing one right after the other. Again, thank you so much for support and downloading. And if you feel so inclined, you can leave a review on iTunes or on Facebook. I have a Facebook page. You can also reach me by email at goodeveningpod@gmail.com. And here come the clips. Neon lights, lots of rockabilly music, all that fun stuff. He starts telling you about how to pick up a woman, which is, you know, as good as you think it would be. And so apparently with this woman, which this made me laugh, she's dancing in a cage, and he has a red and a black, like, jumper cable wires hooked to the top of the cage, and they're huge. They're pretty big, and they go all the way across the ceiling. I don't know how he got up there without anyone knowing. This club seems pretty busy. He's got a lot of free time, though. He doesn't have a job anymore, so I guess he was able to figure it out. And so, you know, she's dancing, and he goes around the back and opens up this little briefcase where he's got, like, all these things to hit the switch and get it going, but those jumper cables really had me going. And this is where, like, also, like, right before this, Niles is, he's getting kind of creepy. He's super excited about what he's getting ready to do. So, yeah, so he goes back there and he gets ready to hit the switch, and he hits it, and it malfunctions. And he doesn't understand why, and then all of a sudden from behind him, the cops bust through the back door. She's trying to get it, and all of a sudden the door shuts behind her. This house is full of shutting doors. There's like no one there. This house just keeps, I don't know if there's like a draft, I guess. It's kind of an older house. Keeps shutting the door. She turns to grab the doorknob, and it pulls off. She goes to put it back on, pushes the other side of the doorknob out. Very convenient, but then part of me is also like, yeah, that would probably be my luck. Like, I would go to get out, and then that would be the time that doorknob that I kept putting off fixing decides to finally break, you know? And so she's like, oh, you know, she's really worried now. And there's a little window on that closet, and, you know, she's trying to bust out of the door, and as she's trying to get out, she sees a ladder pushing up against that window. And this part makes me laugh, because he's got the Psycho Santas crawling up the ladder towards the little girl's room. It's not a very tall ladder. I think it's actually like a rose trellis or something. It doesn't look very, very good to climb on. But he's pretty determined looking. He's got the axe. He's slowly climbing up. He sees her in the room. He gets this really creepy grin on his face. And he looks up at the daughter and looks back down at her. And he's just, you know, slowly, creepily heading up there, and she's very, you know, upset. And then that's when girl hears all this noise. I don't think she really went back to bed. I think she's been sitting up. She hears the noise. She goes and opens up the window all the way in her bedroom. I feel like, okay, she's very excited about this Santa. He doesn't look like any normal Santa you would see. He looks crazy. He's bleeding, and she's super excited. She's like, oh my gosh, Santa. And see, this right here is why we shouldn't lie about Santa. She, you know, if she knew that this was more just like a thing, or that maybe she wouldn't have do what she does here. But she's like, oh, Santa, I've been waiting for you. You know, come on, I'll help you get up into the room. You know, she wants him to come up. Finally, the mom bursts through the closet door in the study. Next thing it shows is the next death. And this one is kind of neat. They're going to electrocute him. So they have him in a nice suit. There's a huge group there of people. They have him hooked up to like a generator thing. And he's got his two arms tied together, stretched out, and in each hand he has a light bulb. So I guess those are going to light up when he gets electrocuted. And this time, pretty sure they made it to where it seemed to me like they were trying to make it so you could kill, like, the audience member could kill someone and not feel guilty about it, which is interesting. Like, that would definitely make some money, I would think. So, you know, they said one of you lucky folks is gonna pull the switch and kill him. And Coralie's gonna draw the number, and she starts to read it, but then the barker stops her and changes it to a different number. So that definitely makes me think that the person paid a little more to get into it, and so they decided to let this person do it and just act like it was a draw, but it wasn't. And the lucky number they pull is this little old lady, and she's super excited, and she's just a sassy old lady. She's very excited about doing this. She's missing her teeth, she got glasses, she's laughing, she's so excited. So she's gonna pull the switch. And Coralie's like, congratulations, you get to fry my boyfriend. And so they ask Ulrich if he has any last words, and he dedicates the death to Dr. Manfred, that Dr. Manfred would want him to continue his, you know, this thing and that he's doing. And someone's like, shut up and cook him. And he's acting really sad. He's got cuts all over his face and acting like he had nothing to do with the death of Dr. Manfred. So the little old lady is excited.
Are you ready?
You bet your ass I'm ready.
So she pulls the switch and he gets many, many volts. He's shaking. He's being held up by the two ties on his wrist. And the old lady's super excited. This one's kind of creepy because his one eye starts to bleed a little bit and it's kind of dripping, and that's kind of freaky looking. And so, you know, he's hanging there and he's dead. They turn the switch back up, and he's dead. And everyone's clapping, and they're waiting for the resurrection. And he's talking with a blonde woman, and they're obviously a couple, or, you know, working on that, because they're, you know, they're together, and they're talking. And he kind of glances over and sees her, and he's instantly smitten. And he points to her, like, let's go talk, you know, like, he tells his butler or whoever's there to come bring her over because he wants to talk to her. And so he just abandons this other woman. He's like, okay, bye. And she's like, oh, I thought we were talking. But he just abandons this other woman and goes over to meet Leah Thompson, who has grabbed a glass of champagne and is waiting for him outside on the porch. And he goes over there and he's, you know, saying hi. And she's like, hey. And she's kind of playing hard to get. And she's over there hanging out and he's kind of following her. And she finds out, yeah, okay, yeah, this actually is his place. So yeah, this is his house. I'm assuming it's a penthouse. It looks like they're kind of up on a deck or something. You know, and so she's kind of acting like she's not super impressed, but she definitely has found the one she's wanting to look for because he has the most money. And really, when it comes to relationships, I kind of feel like, do you really want to date the guy who just left the woman that he was probably either dating or came to the party with or was looking forward to see just because he saw another woman, because he technically ditched that other woman to come over to say hi to you, but she's vain, so I guess it doesn't matter. So he's saying he saw something more exciting and he wanted to come over and talk to her. They kind of do some silly sexual innuendos. The other woman's looking over there kind of like, what's going on? You know, she's not looking super excited or super happy about it. And so she says her name is Sylvia Vane. So Leah Thompson's character's name, Sylvia Vane, V-A-N-E as in weather, she says. And his name is Ronnie Price, which, you know, he's rich. So yeah, Ronnie Price, okay. So then they're talking and she looks over at the other woman watching them. And she looks over and she smacks Ronnie in the face. And he's like, are you crazy? You know, or he calls her a psycho. And she's like, no, I'm just playing hard to get. And he's like, all right. Like, he's kind of, you know, he's into that. He's like, okay. So she goes to get on the elevator to leave, and he goes and grabs her, and he says, you know, it's kind of rude to leave. And she's like, no, you have a nice apartment. I'm going to go. Bye. I'll see you later. Go have fun with whatever you were doing. So then he meets her in the elevator, and he's like, I don't know anything about you. And she says, you know that I'm the girl of your dreams, right?
You knew the second I walked in the room, the second I walked through that door, that I'm the girl of your dreams.
And he says, you want to get out of here? And so she's like, all right. So he leaves his own party and, like, attacks her. When the elevator door closes, he attacks her neck. You know, like, I guess it's supposed to be sensual, but he, like, attacks her neck in there. So then it shoots to 4 months later. Anyway, so they head upstairs and she walks into this room and she finds this bedroom. And it looks great. And that's right away I'm like, okay, no. she's got something going on. She's planning something. This is, she's got something planned. The bedroom looks immaculate. There's a bunch of candles that are not lit. The bed looks like it's just been made. She even mentions that. She's like, oh, look, it looks like it's just made for us. And the rest of the house looks like crap. So she's just like, you know, she's like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to go into the bathroom and, you know, make myself nice. And you kind of get everything situated and light the candles so it'll be perfect. And he's like, all right. And yeah, like I said, it looks too good. I would be suspicious because I'd be like, no one's here. Yet this bedroom looks like that. Like, I'd be like, what is going on? You know? So he's upstairs. He puts the gun down. He brought the gun in with him, which he's planning to use, which I'm pretty sure it is his gun, I think. So he puts it on the nightstand and he kind of gets into the bed and waiting for her to come out, you know, figuring out what's going on. And she's in there talking about, you know, she wants this to be perfect. And, you know, I think she kind of understands that it may not be a perfect love, but she's wanting it to be. So while she's up there, she decides to get herself all dolled up. She's getting herself all fancy for him. She puts on some sexy lingerie and she's getting all her makeup did. She has her hair up real nice, you know, she's doing all that, and she comes out of the bedroom just looking sassy. She was out there, she comes out like, hey, you know, just snap snap snap. And she comes out there and he's like, whoa, maybe this isn't such a bad idea after all, you know, maybe I could figure this out. Or he's instantly like kind of smitten with her, but I think it's, I mean, it's like a love lust thing, but it's still, he's just like, oh, okay, cool, I thought this was gonna be different, but all right. And so again, she wants this night to be perfect. And they go on to do their sexy thing, you know. And they're doing that. And it is some horrible sex noises. That's all I gotta say about that. It is crazy. It's kind of a long scene. And, you know, they show the clock as it strikes midnight and the sex noises get worse. And it strikes midnight, and then the it's so loud that the glass on the clock breaks. Mike, you like this scene?
Oh God, this is the worst thing ever. I mean, they're both equally flawed in their own ways, but this, I think, really kind of got to me at a visceral level because Anita's there cooking what seems to be cooking a steak breakfast for her husband, which, you know, that's really nice. You know, that's something that I would be definitely flattered for if my wife, you know, cooked up a steak for me.
Well, and
with all the fixings.
He comes in, too, like, all happy, and he's chipper, and it's like a new day.
Yeah, he's actually in a good mood
now.
Yeah,
you know, he had a good, you know, good bowel movement, and now he's ready to start his day. And, yeah.
So then she talks to him about now that he's retired, he should just sit back and enjoy life. Sit back, but basically that segues into her suggestion he just sit and watch TV, which is a great way to, you know, hasten your demise, just sit down and do nothing.
And Jonas does make a good point when she says about the TV and he goes, you know, I don't want to watch TV, I'm retired. And she goes, well, you used to watch it all the time. And he's like, yeah, I earned it then. He's like, yeah, I worked all day.
When you come home from a 12-hour shift, of course you're going to collapse in front of on the couch with a few beers.
So here's the part here. So she goes past him. And
he looks so happy when the steak seems to be coming to him, but no. She just goes right past his face with this thing. Like, he can put, his nose is right over the steak.
Yeah, it's a big steak.
And it looks huge. It's like easily a 24-ounce steak.
And she gives it to the dog.
Yeah.
Only one of the dogs.
She gives it to one of the dogs. Implication there, I think, is that she cooks steak dinners for all of them. But just one for now. And then she pops down, like, bran meal.
Oat bran.
Or oat bran. Like, yeah. Some form of...
He gets oat bran. Gotta keep himself regular.
So
he just loses it, which I don't blame him kind of.
I don't
one.
Think it's intentional on her part, but at the same time, the fact that you can tell just from that scene that she doesn't really think of her husband as even a human being.
I just find it weird that she cooks up this whole steak for just the one dog instead of like splitting it up for all the dogs.
I think that you're missing the point here.
I know that too. No, the other part too.
He already feels alienated and kind of lost as it is.
Well, this the other is part too is
insult
that
insult to injury at this point.
The other part too is that if she's been doing this whole time, all this money that she's been wasting on meat,
that he hasn't gotten to eat, but all these dogs have gotten to eat.
Yeah,
she could
he
be
brings
doing
that
this,
up
yeah,
right,
she
right
could be
off the
doing
bat.
This for years.
As it starts to think, because, prime meat cuts do tend to add up if you do this every day, which, I mean, God alone knows whether or not she's been doing it, but she certainly didn't cook that steak for him.
I just had quite a scare. I actually thought my heart was beating again.